created by a Columbia University plastic surgeon, Dr. Janet Allenby, takes a creative approach to anti-aging. Did you know that the human eye is unable to see a wrinkle? That's right. What we see are the shadows caused by wrinkles. LifeCell does contain microtechnology that reflects light, bouncing natural light into those wrinkles so that shadows disappear. So you put this cream on your face, and you can dupe your friends and your family into thinking that you're a lot younger than what you actually are. That's what we have here in this nation, isn't it? It's all about the appearance. It's all about the apparel. It's all about what you project around people. You're projecting what you want people to see in you. Guess what? God's not fooled. God sees to the deepest part of us. He understands our need. In fact, he has gone to the extent in order to meet every need that we have. For in Christ, there are no needs. He satisfies all. He is sufficient for all. But yet, we continue to meet, and when we're together, we want to project someone that we may not be. And the world will tell you that's okay. In fact, if you don't want to be as old as what you really are, there are ways to get around that. Right? This is an issue. It's pandemic in this nation and many nations to save face, to give off or project a persona that you want people to see in you. But yet God's Spirit lives in us. And if God's Spirit lives in us, then God's character, his essence of who he is, should be lived out of us. There should be a projection of Jesus Christ. And just think about who he is. Think about who Jesus is. His selflessness is so much other than other people. He is outward thinking. His eyes roam about the earth. He looks to see the hearts. He looks to see where he can manifest his presence, that people would know him for who he is. And this is an issue in the church of Corinth. Now, Paul had just talked to them about how pleased he was that they were following the traditions of the apostles. And these were not traditions probably as we think them. This was not, well, you guys have to do this in order to give a right projection. You need to do this in order to keep the appearance of what you are, what you say you are, which is what we do now. We give the appearance of who we say we are. In the religious community, we give the appearance of who we say we are. And Paul is not saying, hey, good job of putting up the appearance. He said, good job of following what the apostles said were right and important for you to follow. To give you an understanding of the meaning by which you have your salvation. Good job of following those things. But then he goes in deeper in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. So if you want to turn there. So just on the heels of saying, nice job, you're following through with what the apostles said were important. He says you need to find the deeper meaning by which you are doing things, specifically the Lord's Supper. So Paul says, in the following directives, I have no praise for you. For your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. Or to give a distinction, really, a distinction of what is right and what is true. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. Were they following tradition, the tradition of taking the Lord's Supper together? Formally, yes. But Paul is saying that's not the Lord's Supper you're taking together. Because why? For when you are eating, some of you go ahead and with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, another one gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and to drink in? Do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. Paul's saying, wait a minute, people. Do you understand what you're doing? Yes, you may be taking the Lord's Supper, but do you understand the meaning of what you're doing? It was an empty program. It was a tradition, mind you, without meaning. Because if it had meaning, then this wouldn't be happening. People wouldn't be eating before anybody else. You see, what are we recognizing with the Lord's table? Let's look back to what Jesus was talking about or what he was doing when he was with his family. He was with the guys that he considered family. He was with the guys that he walked life out with. He was with the guys that he was closest to. And so when he was doing these things and he was reflecting on what was going to happen, he was saying, I'm not only going to do this for the world, I'm doing it for you. There was deep, meaningful relationship, and they saw Jesus, his character, was one that he gave of himself totally. And that was what he was indicating with the bread. That was what he was indicating with the cup. So if we are going to represent what Jesus did, then we must have the heart of Christ. So Paul says, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He took the bread and he said, okay, people, attention. I'm going to break my body like this bread, and it's for you. It's not that I would have some reward. It's not that I would do this in order to receive for myself. I do this for you. I am going to be broken for you. The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What are we proclaiming? We're proclaiming the selfless sacrifice of the Son of God on behalf of us. The blood that he poured out, and I'm telling you, it was generous. If you ever seen a lamb or an animal sacrificed or butchered, there is massive amount of blood. Here the Son of God is the Lamb who was slain, pouring out his blood, his lifeblood, in order that we would have life. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, this is what's happening. I'm giving myself totally for you. No love, you can't find another love greater than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And he was calling us his friends. And so you have then what Paul says in a reflective, although very corrective manner. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. What would they be guilty of? Think about what he just talked to them about. How they were thinking of only themselves when they were coming together for the Lord's Supper. They were eating and drinking and having themselves satisfied while others were going unsatisfied. And Jesus says, I give myself that you would be satisfied. And so he says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you among you are weak and sick, and a number have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. Paul's trying to get them straight. It's a recalibration. It's a reconfiguration of the operating system. It's not about you. It's not about you. When we come, understand that we all have this need for Christ. We all have this need of what only He can do. We all have the opportunity to take part in what He has already given. God is here, but yet He wants to manifest His presence and His character in His life that others would be satisfied. We all have need, but yet He says, come together in order you would recognize the need that everyone else is going through. That's why we pray, in order that we would be able to have an opportunity that God could lay somebody's need on your heart and you would go pray with them. We are so conditioned to come into a place like this, into church, and look upon our own need. We are so conditioned to come and say, Jesus, I need you. Would you come minister to me and get in our box, get in our silo? I think Paul's saying here, be cognizant. God came in the person of Jesus Christ in order that He would satisfy the need of the world. You're coming together not only to recognize Him and in that act, you're also coming together to recognize His manifest presence in your life that ministers to the body. We are family. And so, be cognizant. Understand that you are not here for yourself. You are not here for yourself. God will minister to you. He will meet your need. He is sufficient. But His desire is that you would take the strength and the power of the blood that is at work in you and be able to minister to others, putting others before yourself. Paul said that in chapter 2 of Philippians. Here's the thing. Take on the example that Jesus Christ gave us. He considered others' interest before His own. He became one of us. Became obedient, even unto death. That is the mantle that we carry as Jesus followers. So we're going to have some time of prayer. Now, hear me. I am not saying that this is not a time where God, by His Spirit, will not minister to you. He will definitely meet your need. As you come to Him, as you ask Him questions, as you bring to Him maybe some doubts that you have, if you bring to Him your brokenness, your woundedness, He absolutely will meet you where you're at. But also, as you know, when you engage Jesus Christ and He gives you an understanding of who He is, you can't help but think of others. That's who He is. That's the essence of who God is. He exists to love. And He is love. And He will love you, but He will also love through you. So we will have people along the walls, once again, that we will pray with you if you have need. But I would also ask you to ask Jesus, because He'll tell you, He's always talking to you. He wants you to listen to Him. If there's someone that He lays on your heart, get up and go pray. Because this is what we celebrate. We celebrate that Jesus Christ came not for His own benefit, but for the joy that was set before Him, which is us in relationship with Him. Be cognizant, be aware, listen to the Holy Spirit. If He says, hey, get up and go pray with that person, do it. It's a beautiful thing.